Glory to God. He is so good. At Psalm 107, we've gone over this scripture several times. Now, we're going to get back, I believe, to our other series that we had in being built together. We're not done with that. But, you know, we're just endeavor to go with the Spirit of God. And I just thought there was one service three weeks ago that we needed to cover some things. And here we are, the third one. I don't believe, you know, I'm just not going to even say we're just going to keep going with him. But I believe we'll get back there and hook that up. But we want what God wants for us at any given time, right? We're not here just to preach and to preach series and to put them on CDs and what. That's not the purpose. This is for the body of Christ, us here to get nourished and built up. Amen? God is good. And we'll just yield to Him. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 107, 17 says, "Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Now, a couple weeks ago, we focused on that part about fools. Because of their transgression, their iniquities were afflicted. But they cried out to the Lord, and He did what? He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them. He delivered them from their destructions. And we focused on that part. You know, devil will tell you, you've messed up too much, you've blown it, whatever. You're not going to get to where God has for you, or the plans He has for you, and he's a liar. And we focused on that, and I encourage you to go back a couple services ago and listen to that if you weren't here. And last week we were just talking about, even as you're walking out the plan of God or walking out your life, there's going to be times when it looks like you're not in the right place and you're going to feel pressure. And we said in those circumstances, God has not left you. There is a spiritual realm. You might not see everything that's going on, and just to trust Him. And we touched base on that. This week, just feel like there's more here and that we need to focus on this some more. So we called this, these series, just that He called, He delivered them. And He will deliver us in every situation. He is always for us, always there with us. He will walk with us through it all. How many people believe that? He's here. Do you realize He's here right now? Yes, He walks wherever we walk because He lives inside of us. He's here in a different way. I'll tell you what, last week in the service, there was a tangible, manifest presence of God here. We spent a long time afterwards, but it was so thick in here. It was tangible. But God is doing things, and He is here with us right now. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Whatever we are walking through right now, He is walking with us. Amen? He knows. I don't know what everybody in this room is walking through, but He does. He knows it in minute detail. He knows what goes on at home. When we're by ourselves, He knows the thoughts that are running through our minds. He knows the pressures we're facing, but He also knows what's coming down the pike. He knows what's going to change. He knows what He has in mind to do. He already knows. He already knows. Somebody needs to know that He already knows what the next step is, and He's already got it all figured out. He knows what's coming down, and he already has it all figured out, and He will deliver us and bring us through every challenge that we face on this earth if we'll look to Him. Hallelujah. Everyone. We are going to face challenges, unfortunately. If only it was just once you got born again, that you never have another challenge. That was it. That you just sat there and you went to work, did whatever, but you never had another challenge at home, in the workplace, relationally, never a challenge. I wish it were that way, but it's not. But God said He'd be with us in the middle of it all. Look at we looked at Psalm 91 a little bit last week. Look at Psalm 91 on your sheet. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. We need to trust Him. Now, your flesh doesn't want to do that. Your senses don't want to trust Him. Your senses will tell you just what they tell you. They'll tell you what they see. Your emotions can tell you what they feel. That's why we need to manage those things and tell them what they're gonna, how they're going to operate. Your eyes may see something, and your eyes aren't necessarily lying to you, but your eyes just see what physically, you know, light is bouncing around. It's bouncing off objects. It hits your eyes, and then you get an image of the things you see. That's all your eyes are reporting to you, is what is physically there. Your eyes can't see what's going to happen time-wise an hour from now. Your eyes can't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. Even if I'm staring, you know, let's say at this chair, and people come in and sit here and then leave, my eyes right now see an empty chair. They can't tell me who's going to sit there next week. All they say is, I see a, you know, red, maroon chair. It's empty. But my eyes can't tell spatially, time-wise. They can't tell what's going to happen next week. It can't tell me if this chair will even be here 2 weeks from now. It doesn't report any of that information. It's just an update on there is a chair there, and it's this color. It doesn't tell me anything about how the chair sounds. That's my ears do, but my ears can't tell me what color that is. Your senses just report what is, but your senses can't distinguish spiritual things and can't see around the corner. But God can. God fills all time. He's eternal. That means He fills all time. He is. He not was. He's not going to be. He is. He fills it all. So He knows what's going to happen in an hour. He knows who's going to be there in 2 weeks. He knows it all. He sees everything. You know, if you were to chart the motions of all of us, in any snapshot, you could chart everybody in coordinates, and then in the next instant, you could chart them, and you could see how everybody moves. He sees it all mixed together at once and knows everything. And He knows what's going to happen right now. Isn't that good to know Him? And He knows what's coming down. Verse 2, Psalm 91, verse 2, I say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Verse 14, because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him on high because He has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. He didn't say, I wouldn't have any. He said, I'll be with you, though. And then what did He say? I will deliver him, and I'll honor him. With long life I'll satisfy him and show him my salvation. He said, if we call upon Him, He's going. He didn't say if. He said, I'll answer Him. I will answer Him. Just because you feel like God is not there has nothing to do with the fact that He is here and He knows what's going on. Your feelings can't detect God. Did you hear me? Your emotions have no God detector in it. If it were a product, there is none. Now, that's a different product, but this one, if there's a column, you know, they have these comparisons with products. And they have this, you know, usually when you're trying to sell your product and you put it against your competitors and you name it something that they don't have, and then you say, we have this, and you don't. Even if they have the same thing, it's just called another name. It just makes your product look better, right? Y'all see those? Marketing, sales. But if you were to look at you and your feelings in the column that says God detection, that column's blank because your feelings don't detect God, and they don't detect the plan of God, and they don't detect what He's about to do. They don't detect anything spiritual. They just, your feelings are subject to change based on external circumstances, or maybe a thought pops into your head. You're going along fine, and then all of a sudden somebody says something and now your feelings change. or it brings up a memory of something, you're fine, and then this commercial comes on, you know, you're watching a game or whatever, it comes on and it reminds you of some painful situation, all of a sudden you're feeling pain. When 10 seconds later you weren't, because your feelings drudged up something where one time something hurt you. But your feelings, if you go by that, you may think everything just changed, but you're sitting in the same place, nothing's changed. But your feelings could feel bad. See, your feelings can go like this. But they will never tell you, your feelings might tell you that God has left, but that has nothing to do with reality. And if we go by what we see and feel, we will miss it concerning the plan of God, because we'll be moved off things when God's saying, I'm right here, I'm doing this, and we have to discern that spiritually and with the Word, what He's doing by faith. And then we won't be moved off. Your eye gate, your hearing can be telling you one thing that disagrees with what God's told you. Your feelings can be telling you things that disagree with what he's told you. But the fact that He's told you something and the fact that it's coming down the pipe has not changed. And it won't matter unless we let it. So if we're hearing something, feeling something, as long as we just say that, you know what, that doesn't agree with what God has said, I choose to ignore that, I choose to believe He's still with me, then we haven't been pushed off. This is called trusting in Him. This is called faith. We have to take Him at His word and know He is the deliverer. Now let's turn over to Exodus 13. This is an awesome visual, mental picture of an account that gives us a mental picture to show us what we're talking about here, to illustrate what we're talking about here. How many of you know it's always easy to see the problems in other people's lives? It's always to see what somebody else should do. And if you see it after the fact, what somebody did and the things they were faced with and the decisions they make, it's really easy to see what they should have done. Obvious, why didn't they do this? I mean, yeah, you have all the advantages of being separated from the situation, not tied up in it emotionally, or not having to actually see anything or feel anything, and the fact that all the stuff's already happened, so all you have to do is look back and say, ooh, obvious they should have done this. But how many of you know we're all walking through this earth the first time? Don't care what anybody says, we're here for the first time. I was not a bug in a previous life. And we are going through, this is not practice, this is not warm up, this is our chance, this is our time, and we're seeing certain things, and this is our time to make a decision of how we're going to act. Now somebody could come in your life or my life and look at what we did last week or the week before and act as a judge and say, well, it's obvious you should have done this. We could always do that. But the fact is, this is our first time and we have a choice to believe God and to act on what He said. And these things in this word in the Old Testament are given to us precisely for that reason, so we can see what somebody else did and make the right decision. And to bring clarity into our situation. Now this is a familiar account. Exodus 13, verse 17. Now this is when the Israelites are going to be leaving Egypt. And you know the story. Moses and Aaron went back and forth with Pharaoh and said, let my people go. And he said, I will not let your people go. And let my people go. Okay, I'll let your people go. No, I won't let your people go. And go through all that stuff. See miracles and signs, but Pharaoh just will not give until the firstborn of all the Egyptians die. And then Pharaoh says, all right, that's it. Get out of my sight. So verse 17, chapter 13, where we pick up, then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them. Now I want you to notice several things. that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Verse 18, so God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. Now I want you to notice a couple things. Verse 17, then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. In other words, there was an easy way to go, and God did not lead them that way. God did not lead them that way. And he had a reason for doing it. Notice, God doesn't do anything by accident. Just settle that. God has not forgotten anybody. And he does things for a reason, and his reasons are just and good and right, regardless of what our flesh tells us. And if we'll just hook up with him and settle that, that'll take care of a lot of problems. But this is where things get hairy sometimes, is because we let what we see and feel in our very, very, very limited understanding of the world dictate how we feel and see things. When, if we'll just get it over that God knows more than we do, he is always good, he is always just, and he has our best interest at heart, and if he said it to do it this way, he's got a reason to do it this way, and if we'll just trust him, then he will bring us through. Period. But notice this, if somebody else were charting the course, they might have done it a different way, but God said, then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. He said, I could send them this way, but there's a chance they're going right back to Egypt. They can't take it. I'm not going to do that. So he had a reason why, but he did not lead them that way. So, verse 18, so God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. He led them that way. Do you see that? Let's look at it again. Let your eyes rest on it. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. He led them there. He led them there. And he has a reason for what he was doing. It's so important to be led by the Spirit of God. To be led by him. Look at your scripture sheet. Stay in Exodus in your Bible. Look at your scripture sheet to look at a few other scriptures. Deuteronomy 8:1 says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, and you shall remember what the Lord your God that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Now this is further down the way, but he say that these people, eventually, this same bunch, they rejected God. And what they did not listen to him, they would not go into the promised land. They wouldn't do it. And so they died. Joshua and Caleb went in, but they would not believe God. They would not listen to him. This same bunch that we're talking about now concerning the Red Sea, they wouldn't believe him. But notice what it says. God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart. God will lead you a certain way, just like, and we're going to get to some of this, just like he did with the Israelites, leading them on the wilderness path. He will lead you a certain way to test you and to humble you. That is in the Bible. Not the humble you part we're not focusing on now. There's many scriptures that say you humble yourself and God puts you in a position where you have the opportunity to do that. But he will put you down a way that's going to test you. Now, this is not like he's going to throw cancer on you to test you. Okay? He's not throwing stuff at you that is things that Jesus already bore. But he will throw things at you that will try your mettle, just like you get tests every grade. You go through school or any college, you will get a test so that you can see what you know and what you don't know. Don't we? Do we test people? Now, if I loved you, and I knew there was something coming up in your life, and I knew you were not ready for it, and so I'm going to test you, if you were my child or something, I'm going to see if you know. You know, we do this with our children all the time. Before they actually get to the test at school, we maybe quiz them and show them some things, right? And see if they know the answers, because if they don't know the answers, when they go in to the schoolroom, they're going to fail. And I don't want them to fail. I want them to succeed, right? Now, is me testing them, is that somehow me being hard on them? No. That's because I love them. I want to give them an opportunity so that they can see where they missed it, so they can correct it, so that they can go and they're ready for the real thing, so they're not destroyed. I mean, in this case, a test at school would have destroyed them. But God sees what's coming down the pike, and he sees you need to know where you're at so that you can adjust if necessary, so that when the real pressure comes, you can walk through it. Because he will not let us be destroyed. Now, if this is a problem for you, if you think, well, God just doesn't do that, especially in the new covenant, he would never. No, the Bible clearly says that he will train us and correct us. How do you learn? How do we learn? We learn by the word, but then we walk through circumstances. And it will show you up. What you think you know, you'll find out. Now, this does not mean God sets up every circumstance and orchestrates everything. We are dealing with a fallen world, and we are dealing with the curse, and we are dealing with people that aren't godly. Now, God is not orchestrating evil towards us, but he will set you up and say, and know what's going to happen, let you walk into something to see how you handle it, so you can see how you handle it. He's not setting the opposition against you. He's not making somebody do something else, otherwise he would be involved in evil. He's not going to set something against you, but he'll know full well this is coming in. He knows full well what's around the corner, and he'll say, go this way. And you get faced with something that you completely have the ability to overcome, that he has already given you the answer to, but you maybe have to exercise something and put trust in him. The Bible says he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, right? He won't let you be tempted. But you are going to be tempted. Look at the next scripture, a couple scriptures. Luke 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. Now look at the next, in Matthew. This makes it even more clear. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, if you didn't see this in black and white, that this isn't the word, some people say, no, that can't be the case. But is this how you're looking at a scripture sheet? You could think I changed it. Why don't you just, not that you do, but lay your hand, hold your finger in Matthew, or Exodus, and turn over to Matthew. Sometimes the exercise of just turning our Bibles, turning to it, that does something. We're laying our eyes on the scripture, in the Bible, in the Word of God. Matthew 4. Matthew 4, verse 1. Matthew 4, verse 1. Everybody there? It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, there are people that get the devil and God all mixed up and all rolled into one to where they basically have them working together. That's wrong. God, if you get that messed up, I mean, how do we know what to resist? And if God is sending the devil, we're in a world of hurt. Because if he's sending the devil to us, how do we know when to resist him? What do we know what to resist? No, real easy to know what's the devil and what's God. Anything that steals, kills, or destroys is the devil's work. If something is sickness steals. It steals your family time. It steals your ability to make money. It steals your peace of mind. It's a thief. It's of the devil. It's an enemy. Strife in a home is a thief. It steals your peace. It can steal your energy. Can steal you of a good night's sleep. Poverty is a thief. Anybody that thinks poverty is of God, that the less you have, the better, has never been poor. To not be able to buy bread in the extreme form, not have a roof over your head, that's not godly, that's a thief. When you can't pay your bills or meet a need in your family, that's not a blessing. No, God is a God of abundance. He wants every need met. So it is very easy, and we just need to be this simplistic when it comes to these things, that anything that will steal, kill, and destroy, that's the devil. Anything that's good, that's God. Okay, so God is not sending, he's not authoring the evil. But you are going through this life, you are going to face temptation and trial. And God will lead you in a way that will give you a trial test, because you're going to face it anyway. This guy up here is going to destroy you where you're at. This one right here will show you up and strengthen you by exercising your muscles. Yeah, you're going to have to flex your muscles. You're going to have to use your faith, but you're going to come out and say, the word worked. It worked. And you're stronger and you have more confidence, and then something else comes up and you use your faith and it worked. The word of God works and your strength grows. To where you're at a place where if you would have got faced with that 10 years ago, you're done. It would have mowed you over. But God won't let that happen. But as he's training us and growing us up, we will face stuff that we feel like we cannot handle. But we can. In his strength, we can. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get my heart? Because people will twist this, and what they start saying is that, well, God will never do anything that causes you the least bit of discomfort. Would you rather your life be destroyed? I'd rather be uncomfortable. The confusion is that people start saying he's bringing the thing. No, the stuff's in the world already. It's just over here, and you're bumping into it. There's a difference between God sending something and him telling you, go over here, you're going to see something. I mean, David went out and met that giant. God didn't send the giant, but he was able to overcome. It was going to be there. Nobody wanted to take him on, but David came out and he took him on. But no, Jesus was led. If Jesus, the Master, the Savior, was led to be tempted. Jesus was tempted in the garden to where he was bleeding. He was sweating drops of blood. But he had been tried. He had been tested. He was not going to fail. But you know, the Bible said he had to grow in wisdom and stature. He didn't start out there. He is the Son of God, but he still grew. The Bible says he was tempted in all points as we were, yet without sin. Amen. And so, If you realize, because I don't know about you, but you'll go through life and you'll fully believe God led you a certain way. And you believe that it was Him. And you start going down that path. And when stuff starts getting riled up and it starts getting hard, you know what you're going to hear? God didn't lead you here. Why are you having problems if God led you here? Well, let me tell you, if the mark of you following God is not having any problems, then the Apostle Paul completely missed it his whole life, because the man went through all kinds of trials and was in every court. He was hit with stuff all the time. In fact, he believed he was supposed to go, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn over to Acts real quick. Are you believing with me? You believe we're getting what we need this morning? I believe we are. Turn to chapter 21. Let's go to chapter 21, verse 9. Acts 21, verse 9. It says, "Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied, and as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, 'Thus the Holy Spirit, or thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.' Now when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem." Verse 13, "Then Paul answered, 'What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.' So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, 'The will of the Lord be done.'" But notice, there was a prophecy. And what did it say? We got to be very careful about putting our own interpretation on what the Spirit of God says. It is very easy to do. The Spirit of God says one thing, and it's so easy. Ministers, when we give a word, you can, because of your knowledge of a situation, or you think you know something about it, or just the way it comes out, you can think, well, that means this. And you can't put your interpretation, your own interpretation, on what God says. But verse 11 says, "When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, 'Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.'" He just said what is going to happen. Now look what everybody took that to mean. Verse 12, "Now when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem." But it was said, Paul knew what his call was, and it was to stand before kings. He knew what he was called to do. He was supposed to go to Jerusalem. But just because there was going to be trial and something was going to happen, he said, look, this is what I'm supposed to do. The people around him said, well, if it's going to be tough, don't go. God never said everything would be easy. Now, don't confuse what I'm saying with the things that we've been redeemed from. We have been redeemed from so many things. And what the Bible says we've been redeemed from, I'm not talking about sickness and disease. I'm not talking about things that you are just destitute without any money or anything. I'm not talking about those things. But when we are serving God according to what He tells us to do, you are not redeemed from people persecuting you. I mean, that's what Paul's whole, I'm not going into that, but Paul's whole thing with the thorn in the flesh, if you study that out, that you can make a really good case that that was persecution. God was not going to get rid of the persecution that was coming against Him. It was not sickness. It was not disease or anything that we are free from. But when you're walking out the plan of God, God hasn't redeemed us from every little problem. Some things we're going to walk through, and some things that come against us, we are going to be tested and tried, and we will overcome, and it will build our faith and make us stronger for the next thing. And He will bring us up. And I'm telling you, it's not easy. Our flesh wishes there was nothing. It would just be a bed of ease as we walk down. Well, God, you told me that I'm supposed to be here. Now, why are all these things happening if this is your will? Has anybody ever heard that besides me? Just because you're being tried does not mean you're out of the will of God. That's when we buckle down and look to His Word and say, God, you told me to do this, therefore I'm depending on you. I don't care what my eyes are telling me, what I'm feeling. I believe you told me, so you're bringing me through, and I'm coming through. And that exercise of looking to Him in the face of these things that are telling us opposite, we're forced to believe Him, and our faith gets strong. Our faith is being tested. Problems don't give you faith. The Word of God gives you faith, but your faith will be tested and tried, and that will give you a hope as you overcome that the next time God's going to do the same thing. That's why in 5 years you'll be able to believe for more than you can today, not because God changed, but because you've exercised your faith. You've gotten more reliant on Him, but the next time something comes, you may like be, this is bigger than the last time, but God's come through. Okay, here we go. I heard Gloria Copeland talking about this time when they were $6 million in the red, behind. $6 million. I don't know about you, but that's a lot of money where I come from. to be in debt. Television bills, they had gotten behind. And they tell a story about that and got some things lined up and realized some things, and within a few months, they were even. But she said, when we started out, it was all we could do to believe God just to eat and everything and believe God for that money. He goes, no way we're believing God for $6 million. He goes, but we didn't start out there. But we didn't have to believe for $6 million at that point. But God had brought them on and brought them on and brought them on to where now they had a choice and they believed God and things happened. Well, that's what's happening to each of us right now. God's not asking you to believe what's down the line. You have something in front of you right now. And that's where you're supposed to say, God, you told me I'm going to believe your word and it's coming through and I'm going to keep my eyes focused on you, my spiritual eyes. I'm going to stay in perfect peace and you're coming through. That's what our response ought to be. And as we come through, we get stronger. And we come up. And now we're going to be tested again, and it's going to look bigger, and we're going to be tempted to say, I don't know about that. That's too big. I can't do that. But we don't need to run away. We need to say, all right, this is where you're leading us, God. Let's go through. We're going through. We're going up, and you come through that. And now, a bigger thing. Good night. Doesn't it ever end? No, it doesn't. No, if we're going to choose to walk by faith, we're just going to keep going through. You don't get to the place where you just get to lay and rest, say, I've walked by faith enough. I've reached this. I'm sitting down. You don't get to do that. You just get to believe for bigger things. That's what you get. You get to believe for bigger things because you can handle it now. and God could give you something that if he would have given you 15 years ago, bam, you're squashed like a bug. But not so today. You may do this, but by the strength of God, boom, you take it. And then the next thing, you know, but boom. I'm not saying you carry your own strength. That's what it feels like. You roll it over on him and let him do it, and you go up. But your flesh doesn't like this. Your flesh just wants to get to the place where I don't have to deal with anything ever. But God loves us too much to let us do that. Amen? This hitting anybody? You getting something out of this? God will keep bringing us up. These things in the Old Testament are types and examples for us so we can see what he is doing in our life. Now let's go back to Exodus and read a little bit of this in Exodus 14. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I believe God's helping us. He is a good God. Exodus 14, verse 1. Everybody there? Exodus 14, verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and camp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdal and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. See, he's telling them. Telling Moses, look, here's the game plan. Here's what's going to come down. This is what Pharaoh's going to say when this happens. Verse 4, then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them. I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now it was told the king of Egypt when the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Now we have all, maybe not all, a lot of us have heard this, and we know what they said, but you know you are tempted to say the same thing in essence. When God has led you somewhere and he has told you to do something and then it doesn't look good and it doesn't all just lay down before you and you have some challenges, you will be tempted to say, why am I dealing with this at all? Why couldn't I have just stayed back where I was and just sat there? God, what are you doing? Amen? We've all probably been tempted to say this, to say what is going on, and the enemy hasn't changed. Who do you think was influencing these people, putting pressure on them? They see Pharaoh coming down. What do you think they were hearing? You're dead. Who do you think was whispering these things and putting... No, notice, this is that these are the people of God. This is where it's at right now. Okay, there isn't something else going on somewhere in another part of the world. This is the big battle. God has just brought his people out of Egypt. His people are walking. Don't you believe that those people were getting pressure from every demon around telling them, what are you doing? They're coming. You should have stayed. They are feeling pressure. They are feeling beat down, and they're letting it come out of their mouth. What's going on? They're talking complete nonsense now. They're saying we should have. We had it so great in Egypt, which you know that's not true. But they're saying it. Why? Because they're scared. Why? Because they're looking at what is going on with their eyes, and this is becoming more than what God said. God told them he's bringing them out. Showed them sign after sign after sign. But there is all these things ahead of them in their face, and they're saying, I can't take it. Let's just go back to Egypt. Let's go back into bondage. And this, the enemy has not changed. He will work like this. When there is pressure, he's going to tell you, why in the world are you doing what you're doing? You must have missed it. You must have made a mistake. If it was God, you wouldn't have any problems. Said who? Said who? Who said you wouldn't have any problems if you're following God? Who said that? That hasn't been the experience in my life, and it doesn't bear out with Scripture either. No, you're going to face challenges. God said he would bring us through and overcome every one of them. And that's part of that's what we need to do, is believe that he is still good in the midst of these challenges, in the midst of the trial. Notice verse 13. So they just got done saying it would have been better to serve the Egyptians than that we should die out here. Verse 13, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will see again no more forever. Then the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Sometimes that's just the thing we need to do, is hold our peace and stay on God's side and say, it's still going to be what God said. That's the way it's coming out. If you don't know what to say and you said faith earlier and you believed it, keep your mouth shut, bite your lip if you have to, and say, see previous statement. I'm not saying anything right now. If you have to, you just stay there. And you look at the Word. And you remind yourself of how God came through before. And he came through. If they would have started saying, wait a minute. He just did all these miracles. Did you see those 10 miracles he did in Egypt? He already has a plan. He just brought us out with silver and gold out of Egypt. He's going to bring us through. He's got something. God, where is it? Show us. Show us what's going to happen. Because I know you're not letting us down. What's going to happen? God, you're coming through. You never let us down. Well, just a little bit later, they would have seen it. That's the way it is. We walk this life of faith. And so much, when you're getting the hardest pressure, is because, why is Satan pushing you that hard? Why all of a sudden is he pressing you that hard? Because something is happening and he's trying to get you to let go. He's trying to say, God, he's trying to say, oh, it doesn't work, because he knows it's working. Hallelujah. And he's sitting there trying to, if I don't press on this person. And so he's given you everything he's got. Have you ever noticed it ramps up like this? Have you ever noticed, has this ever happened to anybody else? You were getting pressure and pressure and pressure, and then you let it go, and then an hour later, you're done. You're out of it. And then you're going, Lord, you still got it, but you're saying, God, why did I give in? Why didn't I trust you? We were selling our house in Oklahoma. coming to move out here, put our house on the market. And we're just believing, I probably told this story before, but we're believing that we're supposed to move out here. It's the will of God. And we put our house on the market. I don't know when it was. It was late. We're supposed to move out of here, but we don't really have, you know, we don't know when we're going to move out here. And it's, I think it was in May. And, you know, school's over in May. And we put our house on the market on our own. So we did in Lincoln. We had sold our house there. We put it on the market on our own, put it, prayed about the price, put it on for this price. And now, you know, we're doing open houses and so on and so forth, and we're going along and believing this house is going to sell. So this is 2006 at this point. It's starting to slow a little bit there. And we put our house on the market, and now school's wrapping up and things are going. And stuff's time, a little bit of time starts passing, not long, just a few weeks. But after I'm going, I mean, I'm starting to think, wait a minute, we're saying we're selling this house. But we can't leave until we sell this house, where we were. And school's getting done and all this, and everything's wrapping up, but you just have one little problem. You still have to find a buyer for your house. And there was one particular day, I'll never forget it, it was Monday. We had made up flyers, and then we had put a single line in the newspaper that had a website for our house. And, you know, 2006, just the address wasn't quite like it is now. You know, the address of the house.com. And that's all we had done. We thought, you know, that's what we need to do. And this Monday, I'm working at home, and the pressure is starting to escalate on me. I'm starting to think, yeah, you just put your house on the market, but you haven't really done this and this, and you're not getting any nibbles on it at all. What I mean, and the pressure just started to just escalate. And I remember I was working at home, I was in my office, and I remember talking to Shelly, and I was starting to lose it. Starting to let the pressure get to me. I'm like, you know, we just got done with graduation, all this stuff, but how are we gonna, what's gonna happen, and how are we gonna do this? We can't leave till we do this. And the phone rang. And this lady said, I want to come and look at your house that night, tonight. And so I called him, I said, okay, you know. And that lady bought our house that night for what we agreed on. But I'm telling you, that pressure just started ramping up. And you know what? The devil had already lost at this point. And I think sometimes he just throws a fit when something happens and just comes over and just starts like... bang at you and throws you all this stuff at you and all these thoughts, and you're feeling like this, and then that's because he's lost. He just lost, and he's trying to get you down about it. Or you're about to turn a corner, and he's trying to get you to give up. No. Our job, when the heat is turning up, is to go back and just stay with what God has told us and say, no, if he led me here, he's going to bring me through, and you just watch and see the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hide and watch, as I heard Mrs. Hagin say. You don't believe it? Hide and watch. Watch him. Watch him. Watch him. He'll come through. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah. Glory to God. Why don't you stand to your feet?